Support for this show comes from Atlassian. Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Loom help power global collaboration for all teams so they can accomplish everything that's impossible alone. Because individually, we're great, but together, we're so much better. Learn how to unleash the potential of your team at Atlassian.com. That's Atlassian.com. Atlassian.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
All right, buddy, it is Friday, May 3rd, 2024, and it is indeed a heck of a morning. We are live on the MMA Fighting Twitter Spaces, and you can hear the show in its entirety once we're done here on the MMA Fighting Podcasting Network. What's going on, everybody? I am Mike Heck. Hope you're all having a fantastic week. We are on the eve of another UFC pay-per-view event, and I gotta say, well, I think this will be a fun and entertaining watch. I honestly cannot remember a pay-per-view event that has less buzz, less intrigue, less interest than this one. And it's super weird. Like, this is, we talked about UFC 300 being like a one of us card, like the ultimate one of us cards. I don't even know how to describe this one. There's like literally nothing. There's no feeling towards it whatsoever. Like, I feel like I have to almost sell this card to some degree, and I get it. Like, this is just an unfair spot for this card to be in anyways, because we're coming off of 298, 299, 300, and then we got 302, which is the Islam Dustin Poirier card and the Sean Strickland, Paul Costa fight on that card. And then Conor coming back June 29th to fight Michael Chandler. This one is just sort of buried. And it just feels like a throwaway. It just feels like a throwaway card. And I'm not like, I mean, I am sort of blaming the UFC because they could have done a better job putting this together. But I mean, 300 was so magical. We're just kind of left with this. And people are kind of reacting to it in that manner, where it's just, it's a card. It's just there. And like I said, just like traffic and, you know, just overall buzz is, there's none. There's just none. But I do think it's going to be pretty fun. We just ended the weigh-ins for the event. And I believe everybody made it. Let me just go and check with our guru, Alexander K. Lee. Main event is official for the flyweight title. Alexander Pantoja, Steve Urseg, or Vinny Siggs. 125 each. Jonathan Martinez, Jose Aldo, good to go. Aldo makes weight for his return fight. Probably his last weigh-in as a UFC fighter, if I had to take a guess. Anthony Smith, Vitor Petrino, good to go. Michelle Pereira, Ihor Potiera, good to go. Paul Craig, Caio Baraglio, good to go. Everybody was good to go. There is one specific weigh-in that has gotten everybody talking, and that is from William Gomi, who looked just awful on the scale, like really, really bad. It was almost kind of scary looking, and he made weight at 143. Like, it was just, everything about it was very strange. And as of now, as of this very moment, that fight with John Silva is a go, but that could change very quickly. I guess from what I understand, Gomi is going to have some time to recover. We'll see how he does. Maybe they're going to wait till like the ceremonial weigh-ins, but as of this moment, that fight is still a go, as are the other 13 fights on the card. And like I said, it's going to be, I think it's going to be a fun watch. Would I completely understand if you want to save your $80 and skip this one? You bet your ass I do. Totally understand it. You want to save your money for June, or you want to watch Canelo? Totally get that as well. But you're going to have to buy two pay-per-views in June. Then you get another one in July. So within a, what, 7 week span, 8 week span, you're going to have to buy three pay-per-views. That's $240 right there. So totally get if you want to skip this one. And luckily, we have you covered if you decide to not want to spend your $80. You could join GC and I on the watch party. I know you guys are sort of missing the MMA Hour crew, and I get it. But you'll be able to see GC. You'll hear from Frank. And it's going to be good to see all those fellas. Tomorrow, I leave for New York City. My flight's like super early in the morning. But I am very excited to join GC. And you can join us for the watch party. Save your money. We'll tell you what happens. And we'll have just a ton of fun. Probably way more fun than most, if we're being honest. So, all right, let's hear from you all. Let's get after it on this Friday. We'll go till probably the top of the hour. We'll have a preview show for 301 later on as well. I believe it's at 1 p.m. Eastern, so stay tuned for that. Left Lane, go ahead.
Hello, Mike. Can you hear me?
Yes.
I don't know if your mic was muted that whole time because I did not hear anything until then. But if you were speaking, I'm not sure if you saw William Gomez's weight cut or how he looked on the scale, because that was rough. I'd be surprised if that fight happened, to be honest, just kind of knowing how they approach some of the situations where fighters end up being like sick or looking rough on the scales. But my main point on this card is sort of, I guess I wanted to talk a little bit about the main event, and I know a lot of people are giving Usyk a big chance to win, and fair enough, he's a great fighter. But I'm just kind of thinking, like, how many times do we, like, just think about the concept of the champion fighting the number 10 guy in the division, and like, how many of those you'd actually like really consider picking? Like, we got Sean O'Malley against Kyla Phillips. Wouldn't happen because they're teammates, but stylistically, O'Malley should easily win that. You got Topuri versus Giga Chikadze. That's one-sided. Islam versus Moicano. Leon Edwards versus Jeff Neal is not as one-sided as the other ones. Dricus versus Jack Hermanson. Pereira versus Anthony Smith. And then John Jones versus Tai Tuivasa. Like, that's what we're looking at for other divisions with the champion versus the number 10 guy. Now, I know it's a little bit different, but, like, I just don't think we can, like, I don't think anyone should be, like, confidently picking Usyk, if that makes sense. Like, it just seems like a really weird thing to be like, yeah, I am confident, or, like, I really think the number 10 guy in the world has a really good shot, and I'm picking him to beat the champion, who's one of the most well-rounded, probably the most well-rounded fighter in the weight class, and one of the better fighters in the lower weight class, pound for pound. And it's like, yeah, we're picking the number 10 guy whose best win is a KO over Matt Schnell. Like, respectfully, there's more than one person that's been able to do that. So I'd like to see us get it done. I'm Australian, so I wouldn't mind it at all, and I'd be more than happy to see us get another Australian champion. But just, like, thinking about the actual matchup, I know stylistically Usyk does some things well that could cause problems for Pantoja, but I don't know, just the number 10 guy against the champion, unless just the stars align for Usyk and the MMA gods are smiling upon him, I just don't think he gets it done. Also, hope Aldo gets it done. That would be really nice to see. And also looking forward to Elvis Brenner versus Mytebek Oralbay. That's going to be a sick fight, but thanks, Mike.
Yeah, Oralbay and Brenner is probably my favorite fight on the card, if we're being honest. I mean, it doesn't have... I mean, there's stakes there, for sure. Like, in my eyes, there's stakes. We're going to find out, like, who the more for real guy is at 155, the best division in the sport. And whoever wins that fight is probably going to be, at worst, a top 15 guy by the end of the year in this friggin' weight class, which is insane to even think about. I have a bet on Jose Aldo, so, you know, from that perspective, sure. I don't know. There's a lot of people very confident in Jonathan Martinez. Like, we did BTL yesterday, and Casey was, like, super confident. I believe Jose is picking Jonathan Martinez as well, and I'm just – outside of just Aldo maybe being on, as Jed likes to say, the well-done side of cooked, I just – from a stylistic perspective, like, I just feel like this is Jose's fight. Like, there's nothing Jonathan Martinez does that Jose hasn't seen a million times. So, like, he's not going to be able to wrestle Jose. He's not going to be able to take him down. If he tries to have a leg kick war with Jose Aldo, he's going to lose that one. So I'm very curious to see how he, what his game plan is, honestly. And, you know, maybe Jose is just on the other side of things, like, in a big way. But the dude went to altitude and defended all of Merab Dewalishvili's takedowns. Like, he's still got something. It's not like he's been on the couch the whole time. He's had boxing fights, and I know it's a little bit different, but I don't know. It's a lot of confidence in Jonathan Martinez. And I like Jonathan a lot. It'd be a good win for him, but I don't know. A lot of people writing off the King of Rio in Rio. And then with the main event, like, look, Stevie Ersig, Vinny Siggs, Vincenzo Ersig himself, he's become a favorite at MMAfighting.com, mostly for the gimmick. But the, like, watching tape and stuff, I do feel like, I think Ersig is sort of like a popular underdog mostly. And I think it's mostly because he is who he is. He's just there. He's the anti-champion in a lot of ways. Like, most of your champions are brash or they're potential stars and all this. And like, Steve Ersig's just there. Just kind of there. Shows up to the stare downs just wearing a, you know, plain blue polo, just living the dream, just the opposite of what you would expect a UFC champion to look like. And there's just something about him that people have been gravitated towards all week. So there's definitely vibes there. All, like, if you're giving me this as like a straight pick 'em, I'm picking Pantoja. He has a skill that Ursay's going to have a tough time dealing with. Now, from an offensive side of things, Steve Ersig is a very underrated guy when it comes to the grappling. He's a very good wrestler. And a lot of people, and Megan Anderson talked about this when I talked to her, a lot of people forget that he was like a really good wrestler, won a lot of awards, like really good, really good. Decent takedown defense, but once he's on his back, that's where things get interesting. Is it one of those things where Ersig can pop right back up? Is one of those things where Ursa can defend all these submission attempts that are coming his way? Is it one of those things where he's on his back the entire round? That's going to make things really interesting. Pantoja is a good striker, but Steve Ursa's the better striker. He's the better boxer. He packs more of a punch. And Pantoja is durable as hell. But we have to remember as well, Pantoja's been through some battles. That Brandon Moreno fight, I went back and rewatched that one. By the way, if you haven't done that in a hot minute, highly recommend you do it. That fight's actually better than you probably remember it being. But Pantoja took a lot of punishment in that fight. And even the Royval fight, like, it was a pretty dominant performance from Pantoja, but Royval started getting cooking down the stretch, and he took some shots in that fight too. So Pantoja's been around a minute. So is it one of those things where Ursig just kind of catches him at the right time? Is the unknown of Steve Ursay going to be enough? I have a bet on him. I'm not confident in it. It's just more of a fun bet. Just because it's Vinny Siggs. And it's become a thing here. But yeah, I totally understand why people think Pantoja's going to win. But we'll see what happens with good old Vincenzo tomorrow night in Brazil. Can he do it? What a freaking, just what an unlikely run to a title it would be.
Support for this show comes from Atlassian. Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Loom help power global collaboration for all teams so they can accomplish everything that's impossible alone. Because individually we're great, but together we're so much better. That's why millions of teams around the world, including 75% of the Fortune 500, trust Atlassian software for everything from space exploration and green energy to delivering pizzas and podcasts. Whether you're a team of two, 200, or 2 million, or whether your team is around the corner or on another continent altogether, Atlassian software is built to help keep you all on the same page from start to finish. That way, every one of your teams, from engineering and IT to marketing, HR and legal, can stay connected and move together as one towards shared company-wide goals. Learn how to unleash the potential of your team at Atlassian.com. That's Atlassian.com. Atlassian.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hey, Mike, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, my connection's a little rough. I apologize. Just real quick, I wanted to ask you, do you, whenever you look at 301 as a card itself, do you see like what I see? I sort of see a bunch of good matchups. I sort of see a potential for a lot of violence. A lot of people are sort of crapping on this card, saying, you know, it's not that good. And I'm pretty sure it's them comparing it to, you know, 299 and 300. So I just wanted to ask you, what would you rate this card on a scale of 1 to 10?
It's kind of tough to say, honestly. And I know Left Lane asked earlier about William Gomi. I talked about it a little bit earlier, but he couldn't hear me. As of now, that fight's still on. He looked shitty. Wouldn't shock me if that fight doesn't happen. But as of now, that fight is a go. Our man on the ground, Guillermo Cruz, letting us know. I guess they're going to let him see if he's going to recover and how he looks in the next hour. Maybe they'll wait till ceremonial weigh-ins to kind of check him out and see how he is. But as of now, that fight is a go. Look, for a pay-per-view, putting an $80 price tag on this, considering what UFC pay-per-views typically look like, this is one of the worst ones they've had. Like, it's just bad for a pay-per-view. It really is. Now, if this was next week, if this was UFC St. Louis, this would be a friggin' banger. This would be a banger of a fight night card. Like, really, really good. One that we would go on and praise the hell out of. But no one's going to buy this pay-per-view. Absolutely nobody. I mean, you know what I'm trying to say here. There is a cluster of the fan base, especially in the United States, that watches everything, that will buy pretty much everything. And I would say probably 10% of those people who buy everything are skipping this one. They're just going to skip it. There's just no sizzle to it. And you're asking for an $80 price tag. And again, we get two pay-per-views next month. Both are a million times better than this one on paper. Like, I honestly think this card as a whole is better than what 297 was as a whole. But 297 at least sold because you had a couple of bigger, some names up there. You had Sean Strickland and Dricus du Plessis up there. And Sean Strickland's a big star. Dricus du Plessis is a known commodity. And like, you could sell that card just on those two names alone. Even though we looked at that 297 card and we were like, boy, this could be tough. And boy, was it. It was awful. I do think when we come back here on Tuesday, will I say that this is the worst pay-per-view of 2024 so far? No, I think 297 is going to have that. I really do. As good as the main event was between DDP and Strickland, the rest of that card was not good. It was a slog. I felt like I was watching fights for 14 hours, and that's not a good feeling. That's not a good feeling, especially when it's a pay-per-view. I do think this is going to move a lot quicker. I think there's going to be a lot of finishes. Could be ripe for a few upsets. A lot of big favorites. So, yeah. I for me, if it's just, hey, it's a fight night card, this is like an 8 out of 10. If this is UFC St. Louis, the lineup for St. Louis, 8 out of 10. Pay-per-view-wise, I mean, we got to be honest with ourselves. This is like a 4. And that's probably generous. It just is. compared to other UFC to most UFC pay-per-views. This is one of the tougher ones from a business standpoint in terms of what I think pay-per-view wise this is going to generate. I don't think it's going to generate anything. The traffic, the interest on the website and all the videos and stuff, like nobody seems to care at all outside of Anthony Smith saying that fans are stupid at the media day. So, J-Stack, go ahead.
Hello, Mike Hecker from Morning. Apologize for the background noise, but what is your thoughts on Kyle versus Paul Craig? How do you see that matchup going? Me, personally, I think Paul Craig is going to get TKO'd by Kyle, but what are your thoughts?
I don't know. It's a tough fight. Like, I have a big Brazilian favorite parlay, so I do have Kyle in there. I do think Kyle's going to win. I don't know. You just never know which Paul Craig is going to show up. You don't know if it's the Paul Craig that's just going to get got or if it's the Paul Craig that shows up and just beats the hell out of Jamal Hill, who is one of the five, was just the champion not that long ago. So you just, it's tough to say. Is it the guy that showed up to fight Andre Muniz or is it the guy that showed up to fight Brandon Allen? I'm not really sure. Brandon Allen's really good, but I think you know what I'm trying to say here. I think this is going to go long. I think this one's going to go pretty long. I'm going to say, I'm picking Kyle. I think he wins a decision. Wouldn't shock me if either gets the other out within 7 minutes or so, but something tells me that Paul's going to be a little bit tougher than the odds suggest, and I think Kyle's going to have to dig down deep and probably win the latter rounds, and I think he will. But my pick right now, the way I view it, is Kyle by decision. And it's going to be interesting to see where he goes because he's got something. He's got a gimmick. He's got a look. He's got a personality. But he ain't over, man. Like, he just has not gotten over. And the UFC has given him opportunities. I know it's on Apex cards, but they've given him co-main events. They put him in good spots. And he just hasn't really gotten over that hump. And I think a lot of it has to do with what he does with the microphone after fights. His call out after his last fight, calling out Dricus du Plessis, one of the worst call outs in the last 2 years. Just awful. Terrible. What are you doing? Zero chance of getting that fight. Zero. So let's see what he does. Get a good name in mind. And just call it out. Call it out. You want to call Bo Nickel? Call Bo Nickel. I'm cool with that. But don't Bilal it. Don't do that. Don't be calling for Hamza. Don't be calling for anybody you have no chance of getting right now. Call out Jack Hermanson. Do that. Have a good performance. I think his stock grows a little bit. But he's got to have it all. He's got to deliver in all aspects of this thing. But I do think he beats Paul Craig, and I think it's a fun fight. Matt, go ahead.
I've said it multiple times. I love the violence. While I hate that I do agree with you about the discussion of this card being weak for a pay-per-view, I do think it is. But I do think that there is just so much of a chance for violence, like 4 Ounce Sniper was saying, that I do think that this is going to be way better than we are anticipating. Personally, my low-key banger is Ismael Bonfim versus Vince Michelle. Cannot wait for that shit. It's going to be electric and violent. And I've got a question for you. I know that this may put you in a hard spot to answer. But has there ever been a fighter that you just don't jive with? Whenever you just look at him, you're like, there's just no way that I can just get behind them. For me, it's Kyle Braio or however the hell you say his name. I just can't get behind him. I don't know what it is. But every time I watch his performances, I would rather just like watch paint dry personally. And watching him on the mic is also brutal. So, I mean, is there just a fighter that you just do not jive with?
I don't know. Second question's tough. I mean, I'm certainly critical when I need to be. Like, Henry Cejudo, Bilal Muhammad, like, have been on the top of the list of, like, what are you doing? And I think Kayo has been on that list as well. You just got to be able to have it all. Like, you just got to be able to do something. I don't know. It's tough to say. There's not, like, one fighter I look at, I'm just like, oh, I hate this guy, or I don't want to watch him. But, like, yeah, Kayo's got to be careful. Kayo's got to be careful. I totally understand where you're coming from. And like I said earlier with the other point, I think this is going to be a fun watch. I do. There's going to be some fun fights. A lot of big Brazilian favorites. The crowd is going to be electric. Whoever's there. I'm actually kind of curious to see how ticket sales are going for this event. Let me see. Let's take a gander. Let's take a look. Do they sell out? Or are they just not letting me buy them? I don't know. We'll know tomorrow. But like when they did, what, 283? There's like nobody there. It was empty. It was the most empty Brazil card I've ever seen. So we'll see if the prices were a little bit better, or, you know, they didn't price out the hardcore fans. But I think this is going to be a fun night. Dude, Jose Aldo is fighting in Rio. That's awesome. Run This Town's going to hit and people are going to lose their mind. And if Jose Aldo beats Jonathan Martinez, the Brazilian fans aren't going to give a shit what happens in the main event. If Jose Aldo wins, they will be happy. They will leave happy, even if Steve Ursegg melts Pantoja in the main event. They will be like, yeah, that's tough, but man, Jose Aldo won. So I do think this is going to be fun. I think Joanderson Brito, Jack Shore is a really interesting fight. Karolina Kovalkiewicz trying to win her fifth fight in a row against a 22-year-old up-and-comer. Elvis Brenner, Miktibek Orlbay is the best fight on the fight I'm looking forward to the most on this entire card tomorrow. Cannot wait for it. So I do think it's gonna be fun. And I like the Bonfim Pichel fight. We'll see what Vince looks like. We haven't seen him in a while since Jacksonville. UFC 273. That was the last time Vince Pichel has fought. Coming off of a loss. Ishmael Bonfim also coming off of a loss. Vince is now 41. I do think Bonfim's going to win, but I got to tell, like, I haven't pulled the trigger on this yet, but there is a small part of me that wants to put a sprinkle on good old Vinny from Hell at plus 400, pondering it. Don't know if I'll get there, but I am pondering it. I do, because Vince is a dog, man. Even at 41, that dude is tough. So, yeah, this will be a fun watch. If this is a fight night card, I think people would be looking at this in a lot different lens. But now you're asking people to pay $80 for it. This is just not an $80 card. It just isn't. Viking, go ahead.
Hey, Mike. How are you?
Good, buddy.
Just don't have time for anything. Just so much busy right now. I don't know what's going on in the MMA world. I just saw a site of Tom Espinal's tweet or statement. I don't know what was that. This MMA fighting just put that story with the picture. So was it talking? Was Tom Espinal talking about the TV audience or the audience who's going to watch the show in the arena, the main event in the pay-per-view event in the arena? I just did not bother to search UK time zone. So what was he talking about? And if he was talking about the TV audience, then let me tell you, I wake up at 3:30 a.m. for prelims and then the show goes on. And the other thing, why Conor McGregor is angry on Sean O'Malley, and just heck of a more
on
I don't want to him. So do something about it, Mike. You're the man. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, buddy. I can't lie. I missed like the last probably 15 seconds of that, but I appreciate you. Let's see. Where are we going here? Tom Aspinall. Okay, so you're talking about Tom Aspinall kind of sticking by the fans of in the UK. And by the way, let me just say, and I talked about this as well, Tom Aspinall is 100% right. What Tom Aspinall was talking about was Tom was saying, look, man, you guys cater to the American crowd all the time. And if, for those who aren't aware, UFC 304, July 27th, they're going to Manchester. And last year when they went to London and did a pay-per-view, they did it. It was an afternoon card here in the United States. So it was like they catered to the London time zone. So in London, UK time, prelims at 6, other prelims at 8, main card at 10. But in the United States, it was like prelims at noon, main card at 3, and it was awesome. And I love when they do that. Love it. So I love the October Abu Dhabi cards because it's afternoon MMA. And as you know, I am a big fan of afternoon MMA. For this event, they are catering to the American time zones. So what they're doing is, here in the United States, main card's going to start at 10 p.m. Eastern. But over there, by the time the fight card ends, it's going to be like 7 a.m. So by the time like Leon Edwards and Bilal Muhammad like get out there and fight, it's going to be like 5 in the morning for the people that are there live. And what Tom said, because when the UFC made this announcement and revealed that, the UK fans were pissed. They were livid. I had like some female MMA fans out in that area hit me up and be like, this is dumb. Like, it's tough enough for us to feel safe going to a UFC event anyways, but now you're asking us to be around, not that it's like anything's going to happen, but like, there's a part of them that's a little more worried that like, you're dealing with people who've been just absolutely rifling off booze for like 18 hours straight. It's like 5 in the morning. And now, like, they're there, just want to watch fights, and you just got a bunch of, like, people have been drinking for almost a day straight by the time the main event starts, or Tom Aspinall makes the walk. So what all Tom's saying is, like, look, the American crowd gets everything, and I understand why you're catering to them, but, like, you're coming to Manchester, like, do this for us. Give it to us. The Americans can watch in the afternoon. And you know what, Tom? You're damn right we can, and I would be thrilled to do that. More than happy. Hopefully the UFC does the thing here. I don't think they're going to. I don't think they give two shits what Tom Aspinall or the UK fans think. But if you are a UK fan, if you are a fan in Manchester, if you are planning on attending this event, maybe this is your chance to take a stand. Maybe just when tickets go on sale, you don't buy them. And when the UFC is like, oh, what are we doing here? Why is nobody buying tickets? They find out. People aren't buying them because you kind of screwed them over. So, yeah, I 100% agree with Tommy Aspinall here. 100%. You deserve better, Manchester. You deserve better, UK. You deserve what you got, what London continues to get. London got their time last year. Why not Manchester? Why not Manchester? That's the question I have. So, hopefully what Tommy Aspinall does can be Leon Edwards can join him in the same kind of thing. Fight for the fans, baby. This is it. It's not often you get one over on the UFC, but here's your chance. Here's your chance. Let's go to Daniel. What's up, Daniel?
Hey, Mike. Heck of the morning to you, man. I guess kind of wanted to follow up just because we've been talking about Aspinall and a couple other things, but I was just curious, like, what your outlook is going to be for, like, the heavyweight division coming 2025. Like, is Aspinall still interim champ? Does John fight Stipe? Does, you know, Pereira make a heavyweight debut? Like, what is just your kind of prediction for how this heavyweight division plays out this year? Thanks, Mike.
Dude, I have no friggin' idea.
John Jones calling out Tom Aspinall or asking fans if he should fight Alex Pereira is, it's kind of funny. And this whole thing that Jed has put together that Tom is scared of, that John is scared of Tom. Boy, it's starting to look, I'm not going to say scared, but it's starting to age pretty good. To go to Alex Pereira is kind of wild. It's kind of wild. I do agree with a couple of things John said. Is Pereira a bigger star than Tom Aspinall right now? Yeah, he is. Unquestionably, he's a bigger star. And so when John says, like, you really think that Tom Aspinall has a bigger fight than Alex Pereira? Yeah, he's probably right about that. Alex would be the bigger fight. But if Tom goes out there and fights Curtis Blaydes in July and just beats the brakes off of him in Manchester on pay-per-view, hopefully at a changed start time for the Manchester fans, like, Tom is going to come off looking like a freaking superstar. He came off looking like a superstar at friggin' Madison Square Garden. So the more and more he gets out there and fights, the more and more he's going to get over with the fans. I haven't seen a lot of people have a bad thing to say about Tommy Aspinall. Like, very few. But the dude has to fight. He has to get out there and fight. Leave John alone. Don't even respond to any of the shit he says. In Tom Aspinall's eyes, John Jones should not even exist. John Jones being a champion should not even be a thing. He should be coming out here strutting around as the undisputed. He should be, I'm the heavyweight champion of the UFC. I'm not the interim champion. This is the belt. This is the actual belt. So how's this going to play out? Is John Jones going to be heavyweight champion by the time we get to January 1st, 2025? Yes, he will. Will they strip him like they would do to anybody else? No, because he's fucking John Jones. Is he going to fight Stipe? Yeah, they're going to make that fight. For some reason, Dana White believes that everybody wants to see that fight, which has led John to tell people everybody wants that fight. We don't want it. We don't. I mean, it'd be good to see Stipe get like one last big payday before he rides off into the sunset. Respect it from that part of it. But if you want to do that fight as like a legacy fight or like just a big name fight, like, do it. But just drop the belt. Let Tom become the undisputed champion. Like, does it matter? Does it change anything if John's not the champion? No, it doesn't change shit. He can fight for the same money, still going to get pay-per-view points at the top of the bill. Create a fucking legacy heavyweight championship. Who gives a fuck? If they're going to fight, great. Two big names? Cool. I don't care. But let's move the division along. Let Tom be the champ. And if John goes out there and beats Stipe, which he probably will, then go fight Tom Aspinall for the belt. Like, that's awesome. Problem solved. What are we doing here? Everybody gets what they want. I don't understand. So, long story short, what's going to happen with the heavyweight division? I don't know. I truly don't know. It changes every friggin' day.
Michael Cohen, Trump's former attorney, fixer, and friend, testified this week in Manhattan.
Todd Blanche is upset because he knows that he looks like a fool right now representing Donald Trump. It is the stupidest opening to a cross-examination I have ever heard, and I have heard a lot of stupid stuff.
I'm Preet Bharara, and this week, Katie Fang, host of MSNBC's The Katie Fang Show, joins me on my podcast, Stay Tuned with Preet, to talk about the latest court news from Trump's trial. The episode is out now. Search and follow Stay Tuned with Preet wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, so we got Henderson, then we'll go to Barbarossa, then we'll go to Mods. Henderson, go ahead.
Hey, Mike, heck of a morning to you, man. I was just actually traveling a bit in Spain. My family is Spanish, so I always try to get back there, and it was amazing, and I love it there. And I was looking for MMA stuff, and I got to say, every time I've ever been there, I've never seen them mention MMA. and it's still true. They do not really know about MMA there as a country. They love soccer. I'm sure Ilya is like growing it, but it should be a warning to the UFC too. Like, you can't just show up there with Ilya and expect him to convince an entire country to learn about the UFC. They better put all their energy into it. And like France and the UK that they built up over years, like, do some of that. But to get to the point of Brazil and what you're talking about like the crowds and the ticket sales and people buying the pay-per-view, I noticed when the last Erin Blanchfield card was in NJ, in Jersey, like, she was headlining and you could buy tickets the day of for less than $100 and they didn't even sell out. You know, they might've technically sold out according to the UFC, but not really in real life. You know, I knew people that were like, should I buy tickets? Forget it. You know, and more people are saying like, should I buy the pay-per-view? Forget it. I'll just stream it or I'll just watch highlights. And even in Brazil, people are like, I don't need to see it in person. And now Aspinall with the UK saying, you're not really doing good things for the fans here. It's worrying me that the UFC is really, they're looking at the financials and they're making tons of money. So for them, and maybe that's all they care about, that's fine, I guess. I can't really control them. But they're not doing what's right to grow the audience for the long term anymore, at least not even in the way that they used to, which wasn't even perfect then. And we're starting to see the effects of that. I mean, even with Dustin added to the New Jersey card coming up, if the last one didn't sell out, this new one, even with Dustin and Islam, like, I'm not sure that's going to sell out. And depending on the ticket prices, it's going to cost like hundreds and hundreds of dollars or pay-per-view $80+, or you could just stream it or watch highlights. So I like that you're talking about this stuff, and it will be interesting to see, like, because if the UFC can't bring Aldo to Brazil and make that a success, they're looking at a bad future, I think. And that leaves room for PFL and others to pick that up. So interested to hear your thoughts, and keep up the great work, man.
Yeah, they don't care. They truly don't care. They're just going to keep trotting out cards. ESPN's going to pay them a whole bunch of money, and they will just continue to do what they do. I mean, I'm looking at the ticket chart for St. Louis right now. There are a lot of tickets available for St. Louis, a lot of them. And there hasn't been a lot of movement since they put Joaquin Buckley on the card. And that's kind of why, because at least that's the way I view it, is that they're trying to get a local guy to help push tickets. And I mean, there's a shitload of tickets left for that card. The cheapest seat you could buy right now for that card is $125. $125 for a event headlined by Rodrigo Nascimento. Like, come on, man. It's just insane. And then, like, you know, just talking to people, you know, who are in that area, UFC 301 is like the third biggest thing happening in Rio that day. Like, Madonna's doing like a big, huge, I think it's a free concert in Rio. Like, who the fuck's gonna buy tickets to the UFC when they can go watch her for free? Like, it's just crazy. And they, again, you know, they loaded this up and they put a lot of Brazilian fighters. I think there's a Brazilian in every single fight, and that's how you should do it. Most of them are big favorites, which is probably how you should do it. The Manchester thing, like, it's, again, they're making so much money that it doesn't matter. And no one's stopping them. And in terms of like growing the fan base, they're certainly doing that, but it's the way they're viewing it, and I have no insight to this. This is kind of how I view it. The fans that have been there since day one, like the hardcore fans that have been along on this journey, the way they view it is, we got them already. They ain't going anywhere. So we don't need to cater to them anymore because they're here. So now look at what they're doing. They're trying to get a younger crowd. They're trying to get a younger crowd. They're trying to get, you know, more of a freedom of speechy crowd. You know, just look at data at press conferences now. You know, he looks for his spots to have a big quote so that Elon Musk can retweet him, retweet his video. Be like, look at us. This is the place. We're not Major League Baseball. All this shit. Like, he'll take something a little bit out of context and turn it into this big thing. And all these very powerful people on social media will retweet this and be like, yeah, we fucking love you, Dana White. And that in turn brings their fans, their viewers over to them. And on top of that, working with Nelk and Full Send and Steve Will Do It and all of them, like, these are people who are very, very popular right now. Nina Drama, like, these are people who will bring in a younger, different kind of an audience. And that's how the fan base works. All you have to do is just get them in the door. Some will leave, some will stay. Those who will stay will graduate from that and then get closer to sort of where you and I are now. But that's how it works. That's why they have these partnerships with Nelk, Barstool, etc. Let's use their power. Let's use the way they cover sports, more of a fan perspective. Take the journalism out of the equation. And let's bring in newer eyeballs. Let's at least get them to the dance. And then it's just up to them whether or not they stay, which I think is actually a really brilliant move. But now it's almost like they're turning their backs on the ones who have been there the entire time. UFC 300 was kind of a different story. And that's why I think a lot of us in this space enjoyed 300 so much. The fights were awesome, but it's just the feel of it all. It was, again, as I said on the preview show heading in, that was for us. That was for us. The people who are complaining about the card, that shit ain't for you. That wasn't for you. That was for us. Conor McGregor, John Jones, Sean O'Malley, like, those cards, those are for you. $299 for you. $300 was for us. We appreciated that card so much more than the newer fans. And that's why we put it over so big, because we reflected a little bit. We went to the back to the cool thing. We went to the thing that made them who they are. We watched the UFC give a shit. We watched them care and put effort into it, like, a ton of it. And that's what happens. And that's why we get so fucking frustrated with the UFC when they do these Apex cards and they, like, do certain things where they just don't seem to give a shit anymore. Because we know what they're capable of. They did it with 300. They did it with Robbie Lawler's retirement. They did it with, like, they do it. And they can do it anytime they want. But they just pick and choose their spots. And that's, like, what frustrates us. But again, the UFC doesn't give a shit what we think. And it's not because they hate us. They already have us. They don't need to sell to us anymore. They know we're there. What can we do with the newer audience? How do we get new eyeballs on it? What PFL's trying to do, but doing terribly, the UFC is doing a million times better than them. So, yeah, I'm with you, but I don't think it's a bad business strategy, but there are certain times where I'm with you, Henderson. I just feel like they just don't care about that kind of thing anymore, because they don't need to. They could sell 15 pay-per-views tomorrow and it makes very little difference on the bottom line. Very little difference, at least for them. ESPN might be a little pissed, but what can you do? Mods, go ahead.
Yeah, big you up first and foremost. Give me the chance to speak. But look, I just to jump on the back of, I know you talked quite in depth about the whole Aspinall thing, but for me as a UK fight fan, yeah, it's just another fucking kick in the teeth, really. I'll be honest with you. I remember they'd done the exact same thing, and ironically, it was Manchester with Bisping Henderson too. That fight didn't kick off till, I think, 5:30 in the morning, our time. And it's just fucking bonkers. And like what you were saying earlier, you're going to have people drinking. And another thing to look at as well is atmosphere. Yeah, you want that place to be bouncing. Yeah, you want to create sort of the typical Colosseum in it. You know, people are going to be half a fucking sleep at like 4:30 in the morning waiting for the fuck. It's just so bad and it's so badly put together. Me personally, I'll be honest, you know, I'm going to say this, like fucking Dana White's going to give a shit about mods from fucking Gloucester wanting to watch the card, but I'm not going to buy a fucking ticket. First and foremost, one, I'm not fucking staying awake and then having to come outside and it's 7 o'clock in the morning and going out for breakfast after watching fights. I'm not doing that. And secondly, we get fucking rinsed over here in the UK in terms of tickets. Granted, you know, that's a lot of it's not the UFC's fault. You know, there's other issues for that. But over here, we got these massive ticket tout companies. So your average ticket, mate, is getting bought and the resale value is mental. I'm talking 700, 800 quid for one ticket, some of these sites. So you already know, like, we know anytime it comes over here, these ticket touts, they're going to buy up a whole bunch of tickets and then uplift the price by like 200%. And now what makes it even worse is we're going to have to pay even more and then have to fucking wait till like 6:45 in the morning to watch a main event. It's just so badly put together. And like what you were saying earlier, we've done cards in London, normal time for us. So early on in the afternoon for you, it's not a problem. In the past, when there's been cards in Sweden or like what you said, Abu Dhabi, for me, that's like, what, 4 o'clock? 3 o'clock in the afternoon, the fights are starting, so I'm fucking loving life on a weekend watching that. And yeah, it's just shit. You know, granted, Tom Aspinall, he probably won't give a fuck about what time it is, but I admire him even more than what I already do for him basically standing up for the fans. Because at the end of the day, without fans, and it's the same in any sport, without fans, you got fucking nothing. You got nothing. And for me, it's just another example of, do you know what? We're exploit their loyalty and their desire to want to watch a card, and we won't really give a fuck about the rest of it. And yeah, it's just poor. It's really poor. And yeah, granted, like I said, I doubt Dana White's going to be like, oh my God, this one guy's fuming. I bet that's not the case. It's going to definitely start with the fighters making more of a stance, more so than it is the fans. You could say, look, if they don't sell enough tickets, that's one way to hurt them and make them listen. Maybe. But they... I said the same thing last time when we had Henderson Bisping 2 in Manchester. And here we are a few years later and they're doing the same shit again. So I'm disappointed, man, big time. I'm really disappointed.
Yeah, man, I hear you. It's just rough. And this whole notion, like, and again, Tom is completely right. Like, I understand you're trying to promote to the American audience, but promote it for an afternoon card. We like it. You really think the average American mixed martial arts fan, because as big as the UFC is and as profitable as they are, compared to all the other sports, it's a small number. You really think they're going to complain if you do a pay-per-view at 3 p.m. Eastern or at noon Pacific time? You really think people out in Los Angeles are going to be like, Nope, not buying it. No one should buy it too early. Hell no. Those people are like the most excited because by the time the fights are over and you wrap and pack with press conferences and stuff like that, it's like 6 in the afternoon. It's like 6 in the evening. You could go spend the rest. You can go out on a Saturday night and like do stuff. Hang out with your buds. Take your wife out. Like, those are the rare occasions where it's like, oh, I have a Saturday night off as a UFC fan. That doesn't happen. The American fans will be thrilled. We'll put Dana over. I will come on the show and be like, Dana, good shit. Good job, man. As will most other people. But it's just dumb. Like, especially for Manchester, man. You just did London on London time frame. You just did a pay-per-view in the afternoon here in the United States. What's the difference? Why all of a sudden, because you're going to Manchester, they're not as cool as London? What are we talking about? This is a brand new arena. Like, this could be a place you go back to, like, over and over again. Don't you want them to be, like, in the best mood possible? Don't you want the crowd to be as electric and as upbeat and as ready to go as possible? I don't get it. I just don't understand the thought process. The emotional roller coaster of that announcement was unbelievable. Manchester's like, yeah, stand up. And then once they found out, by the way, it's going to start in the American start time, not the Manchester start time. So you guys are going to be watching fights till 6 a.m. Boy, did the attitude change, and totally understand it. Totally understand it. Hopefully they change course. I would be stunned if they do at this point, but it's just annoying. I feel for you. I feel for you. But again, I mean, that's the only way to kind of like shut it down is just kind of revolt against it and, you know, maybe catch Dana at a press conference and put him on the spot, like for the 300 stuff with the bonuses and everything, and kind of make Dana just, but at that point, it's going to be too late to even have the opportunity to change anything. So the way I see it, if you're going to be in Manchester and you don't want to spend all that money after being rinsed by the third party ticket organizations, just make kind of a weekend out of it. You know, Cage Warriors is going to put on an event probably right next to it. Sure, those are a little bit more reasonably priced. You could still get the UFC vibe. You could go to the press conference. You could go to the ceremonial weigh-ins. You could do all that. That won't cost you a thing. Go watch Cage Warriors live the day before. And then just like bring your peeps over and just watch it or DVR it and watch it the next morning if it's too late, which I totally understand if it is. But yeah, you deserve better. You absolutely deserve better. All right, we are going to get out of here. Thank you very much. I appreciate the excitement, the passion on today's program. We're going to do a preview show, 1 p.m. Eastern, UFC 301. Get excited. We will do our best, ladies and gentlemen, to put this card over and try to find the good of it all. Because I do think, oh, Kurt wants to chime in, and then we'll move on. Kurt, please.
Oh, wow. Thanks. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, perfect. I just wanted to talk about that one more thing with the UK thing. The UFC doesn't set that time. The broadcast belongs to ESPN. They are the ones. So you got to remember, they have that deal with ESPN that's hundreds of millions of dollars. And so, you know, they're the ones that say, like, you know, like with the afternoon pay-per-views, that can get offset with like the Saudi Arabia card or the Abu Dhabi thing. And so, but you also have to take into account with the other incomes from the pay-per-view, like Johan Promotions, which is the bars and the restaurants. And on the West Coast, a lot of bars and restaurants aren't open till like, if the pay-per-view starts at 11 a.m., bars and restaurants aren't even open then. So you're thinking about cutting off the market of like tens of millions of dollars in that. And so, and then also the deal that they have with like the movie theaters. And so if ESPN owns those broadcasting rights, they're going to try to maximize their investment into the pay-per-view. And so I'm sure that the UFC can work out a deal with like the Abu Dhabi pay-per-view, you know, because they can offset some of their loss with the morning pay-per-view cost. But the idea is that the UFC has that control. The ESPN owns that broadcast. And so I just wanted to make that mention. And I know that people are frustrated, and I think it sucks for the UK fans, but it is what it is. All right, man. Have a good night.
Yeah, but if that's the case, first of all, the last time they did a pay-per-view in Manchester, the ESPN deal didn't even exist, and they did the same fucking thing. They did the same thing. It was an overnight card without ESPN. That was in 2016. So nothing changes. And then again, they were in freaking London last year and they did an afternoon pay-per-view. And it was universally praised across the board. Even though if we go back and rewatch that card, outside of Justin Gaethje versus Rafael Fiziev, not the best watch of all time. But still, it seemed better because it was an afternoon card. I don't understand why ESPN would do this. I'm trying to, like, what big event is July 27th? You know what I mean? I know, like, from, I've had many of conversation heading into this Manchester thing, because we knew it was kind of a thing. It was just waiting for the announcement, waiting to see, like, if they sort of put everything together. The original plan was to do this card July 20th. That was the plan. But obviously, they realized that'd be one of the worst things you could possibly do, because Jake Paul, Mike Tyson's that same day. And you can shit on that fight all you want, but everyone is going to watch that fight. Everyone is going to watch with some sort of interest or intrigue, whether you like it or not. You're going to watch it. So 27th is here. I don't know, man. I'm sure if Dana White and the UFC brass had a meeting with ESPN right this second and said, hey, man, let's just change it. Let's just do it in the afternoon instead. Ticket sales aren't great. Let's just push it in the afternoon. You think ESPN's going to be like, no, fuck you? No, they're going to be like, all right, let's do it. Whatever you want. Because you just did it. You just did it a year ago. Like, literally a year ago. You were back, you were in the UK, and you did an afternoon card. You understand what the main event is probably going to be for this event. It's going to be Leon Edwards versus Bilal Muhammad. You think that changes anything in terms of pay-per-view buys? You think, like, fans are going to be just, fans in Los Angeles and the west coast of the country are going to be like, oh man, now we can't go to the bar to watch Leon Edwards versus Bilal Muhammad for five rounds? They don't give a shit. And they, like, the ESPN shouldn't either. Or the UFC. I don't know. Again, we could hope, but nothing's going to change. This is what's going to happen, and I feel for you. And again, the only way for it to change is if you just don't buy tickets. I mean, the third parties are going to, you know, as the previous caller said, they're just going to buy them all up and then try to resell them at a premium. Just say, fuck you, I ain't buying anything. And then they fight in front of no people. But again, there will be a fan base that will just, like, I don't care. Nelk Boy said I should go watch it, so I'm going to go spend money and watch it. Which, again, is not a bad strategy. So, all right, now we're going to get out of here. 1 p.m. Eastern, preview show. We'll talk about 301, and we'll see what else is going on throughout the day. Watch party tomorrow. Link is already live on the YouTube channel, so get excited. Subscribe, bookmark, notifications, hit the bell so you know when we're going live. You know GC and I are going to have fun regardless of what the card looks like, regardless of the star power or lack thereof. We're going to go in there and have a good time. If you don't want to spend $80, we will give you $80 worth of entertainment for nothing on the watch party. So join us 9:45 p.m. Eastern for that. Until then, everybody, have a great rest of your Friday and have a heck of a morning, everybody. You deserve it.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.